Hey, everybody. My name is Aaron. I'm calling from my Droid Incredible in Pennsylvania. I'm trying to be really quiet because I'm calling from work and I don't want to get caught. So everybody else, quiet down, and here comes the Android Central podcast.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It's episode number 36 for Thursday, October 28th, 2010. We have Gingerbread, Honeycomb, Rumors, and Jerry Hildenbrand, everybody. Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Howdy, y'all. How you doing?
And Mickey Papillon, a.k.a. the Cell Phone Junkie.
Hey, Phil and Jerry. Great to be here, as always.
And I am Phil Nickinson. I'm your host. I am the editor of Android Central, and I am waving a Killian's in my hand tonight for some reason. You can't see, obviously, because it's an audio podcast. But if you could see me, and I'm really glad you can't, I would be waving a Killian's. So cheers, everybody.
All right. I got water. Health nut.
So there's that. Should we just get into it? We have like 5 million rumors and just half-truths and allegations, and I don't even know where to start with it. Let's start with what we know. So here's what's going on. Last Friday, about, I believe it was about 5:28 p.m., a giant gingerbread man appeared on the Google campus. So I guess we now know officially that the next version of Android is going to be Gingerbread. And the night before, we actually found out that it's going to be Android 2.3. Somebody posted up, somebody from Google posted up on one of the Android issue code base thingies that, hey, oh, by the way, Android 2.3 is going to be a major update. So we have those pieces put together. And while they still haven't officially been announced, we've got them. Now, Mickey, you said you wanted to talk a little bit about the Gingerbread Man. Mm-hmm. Did you have a bad experience as a child?
No, I do find it comical that there's a 12-foot gingerbread man. Who else announces a product with a larger-than-life dessert on the front lawn of their campus? I mean, it's so funny. It just made me laugh. I scrolled to that page and I just giggled because I'm like, it's just a gingerbread man. He's like 12 feet tall, just sitting in front of the Google headquarters. It's crazy.
Could be worse. It could be like, I don't know. Oscar Mayer's got the Wienermobile. I mean, that creeps me out. You have the weird sausage races at baseball games. I sense a theme here, actually.
Lots of prepackaged meats.
Yeah.
This is a gingerbread man from Google.
So we
the other ones were just like odd desserts. I mean, right, this thing is just, it's kind of creepy. Can you imagine like you're walking down the sidewalk at night and all of a sudden it's like, ah, gingerbread man.
I'm sorry, it's like what? So we've got gingerbread. We know it's coming. We don't know when. So that's one big question. Another big question that has popped up this week, and this has actually been rumored for weeks. I've been hearing about this for a long time. And that is a sequel to the Nexus, despite the fact that Erxbit said, no, there won't be another one, and they're done making phones. Supposedly, there's going to be a follow-up to the Nexus 1. We've heard Nexus 2. We've also heard Nexus S. That's one that's been thrown out for a while. Still nothing anywhere near official on this. But it looks like everybody and their mother, including us, including every other site I know of, has had leaks from people and sources and whatever. And I think we're all pretty much in agreement that Samsung will be making it. I've heard dual core, that rumor seems to be dying down a little bit. I don't know. Everybody's kind of saying 4-inch Super AMOLED, which is a Galaxy S. Gizmodo supposedly knows somebody who got to touch the thing today and basically sounds like a Galaxy S with a front-facing camera, which is also known as a Galaxy S, the European version. And in fact, Jerry had to remind me, it's been so long since I've seen the European version. I forgot that it had a front-facing camera. So I don't know. I'm less concerned about the hardware, and I'm sure whatever the hardware is going to be good. But I think we need to step back and talk about the whole, just where the whole Nexus One started and where we are now and what has changed since then. So way back in January, I mean, actually it was the day before CES, wasn't it? Google announced the Nexus One and said, here, we're making a phone, and it's open, and it's unlocked, and you can do whatever you want with it. And as far as rooting the thing, it was a matter of, you know, typing one line, you know, fast boot OEM unlock. You can unlock the thing, slap. Jerry, what's it? A root kernel, a rooted ROM? What's the right?
A rooted ROM.
Rooted ROM.
Yeah, you
And that's, you know, it's basically a developer's phone. And now, technically, it is a developer's phone. They were selling it in their own store. Carriers weren't selling it in stores ever. Supposedly, T-Mobile was going to do that, and they never did. You could only buy it online. And it was kind of a big failure. And I hate to say failure, because none of us really know what the intentions were and what the expectations were. But obviously, it's not exactly the world's most popular phone. I still think it's a great phone. It's still the one I leave the house with. And I know a lot of you guys out there do, too. So fast forward to now. So say we have a Nexus 2 or a Nexus S or whatever that is. Is it a big deal anymore?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Depends on, you know, are they trying to further their original idea or... You know, I just have a feeling that this is a big middle finger to manufacturers and carriers and everybody who's, you know, oh, Android isn't open and look what the carriers do. Just sell an unlocked open phone and say, here, this is open. Now what?
But how?
And I mean, that's just
how are they going to sell it? If they try to sell it online again, and when I say try, I mean they will, right? If they sell it online again, everyone's going to say, well, it didn't work the first time. What are you doing?
It worked for me.
Well, yeah, it worked for me too.
I mean, it worked for anybody that wanted, you know, an unlocked, basically a developer's phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Maybe depending on what the device, what the specs are on this thing. I mean, mm-hmm. they kind of broke the mold, and I mean, this phone was so ahead of its time. Well, and when I say it's time, like 2 months before, you know, everything else kind of came out. But I mean, still, you know, with the specs that it has, it still matches up with everything else that's out there. And so if they came out with the 2 or the S or whatever it is, and they came out with, you know, 1.2 or 1.5 gigahertz Snapdragon processor, you know, then I think, among other things, I think it's then, you know, now, you know, making that next leap forward in the spec race. And I think it could be successful for a very high level niche group of Android fanatics.
And that's something to remember. The Nexus One was announced, 2 months after the original Motorola Droid was released, and just the leap and the Droid was no slouch. And, you know, still, but, you know, 2 months later, you get the same size screen, but you've got AMOLED. You've got a full 1 gigahertz Snapdragon. I think it's funny that we just now got FM radio turned on. but it was just a totally different feel. And it was HTC, and as much as I love the new Samsung phones, and I love them a lot, I really, really love the Galaxy S-Class phone, and I think it's being underappreciated for what's been done with it. You know, with HTC, you know what you're getting. You're going to get solid hardware. You're going to get some degree of openness, although that's changed a little bit lately, hasn't it?
Yep.
I don't know. We've got to see something radically different. They can't just be like, oh, by the way, yeah, here's another phone. We're going to sell it, whatever. It's not that big a deal. Right? That doesn't make sense. Does it?
Yeah, I hope you're right.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to go pick one up, put it in my hands, and whip out the checkbook and walk away with it in my pocket. But even if that doesn't happen, you know, if their idea is to prove that it is open, you know, they can say, hey, it's open, just buy one online.
Well, and when you say it's a big middle finger to the carriers, I mean, how? It's not a big middle finger until you start selling more than you're selling a Droid or Droid 2s.
I misspoke there. It's a big middle finger to the people who are saying, hey, it's not open. Look what the carriers do.
Mm-hmm.
Look what the manufacturers do. You know, we've got our share of those that Android isn't open because blah, blah, blah. Well, it can be open. You can't blame Google. So maybe this is just how Google's saying, yeah, it can be open. Look.
You know what they need to do with Gingerbread? And I want to talk about Gingerbread for a minute. They need to include just every API that's out there and have just everything working. You know, Apple's supposedly going to open up FaceTime. You know, have something that works with FaceTime. Nimbus just got shut out by Skype this week, and I don't think we ever wrote about it. But, you know, something that just works with everything. And maybe if Google has services up their sleeve and ready to go, you turn all those on at once. What are you guys expecting from Gingerbread? Any just predictions? I don't know when we're getting it, right? I think we figured... What do we figure, Jerry? It's about a week difference between the times the other statues were unveiled and when we got the OSs. So let's talk predictions. Jerry, we'll start with you.
November 2nd announced, 15th available.
Now, that's another sticky widget, right? We got to talk availability. Go back with Froyo. Froyo was announced at Google I.O. in May. It was made available to the developers in late June, and we didn't start seeing it. Well, we saw it on the Nexus One, like what? It leaked out like the next day after I.O.
Yeah. Yeah. I had downloaded it, maybe 12, 15 hours after it was announced. To me, that's available.
Okay.
I can download it and build it. It's available. If, you know, it takes HTC a month longer than that, that's not Google's fault.
No, no. Well, that's not HTC's fault. It takes time to do this stuff.
No, yeah, it takes time. I can build it for one phone in an hour. They have to do a little more testing than that.
Feature-wise, what are you looking for?
I think this is going to mostly be a big behind-the-scenes bug fix.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that, you know, Matias Duarte has got his team, anything that's ready, they might put in it.
Right.
But I think most of what we're going to see is going to be behind the scenes.
But so was a lot of Froyo.
Yep. Yeah, and Froyo was 2.1 to 2.2.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going 2.2 to 2.3. So yeah. That's, you know, if it's something huge and groundbreaking and spectacular, guns, fire trucks, it's going to be, you know, more than just a point. Mm-hmm. Difference.
What do you think, Mickey?
Yep, I agree with Jerry. I think this is definitely just, you know, some low level or behind the scenes stuff that they will help to, what do we say, bug fixes and speed improvements type stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they may throw in one or two things that are interesting to the user, but I don't know specifically what those would be. November 3rd seems like the date, doesn't it? I mean, that seems like a one that we're gonna potentially see some information leaked out on, so I don't, or not leaked out, but actually announced. So I'm going with that, and I think it depends on the device. I think the Nexus may get it though right away.
In the meantime, we still have phones that are waiting to get Froyo. We still have phones that are waiting to get Android 2.1.
Yeah,
how about Motorola anything higher than still 1.6? In testing?
Yeah,
Sony.
So, oh, don't. I'm not even going to talk about that. There are these posts this week that, you know, the update has been delayed again. I can't even just stomach writing that. I can't.
It's painful. And I don't understand it. Granted, it has to work better for Sony Ericsson than it does for Jerry in his basement. Because I'll put up with bugs if it does something that I like. But it's not that hard.
It's been 10 months.
You've got people...
No, and we're not going to bash Sony Ericsson again. We're not going to.
No. That's why I'm saying I don't understand. I know they're capable.
Right. So Taylor from Android and Me mentioned today that they're starting to see Android 2.3 show up in their Google Analytics, and so are we. In fact, I dug a little bit deeper and found Android 3.0.1. Now, Jerry and I sat around talking for a little while before we published it. It really has the feel just in the number of pings, and I didn't put the number of hits in the picture because, frankly, it's none of your business. But it's, you know, it's fewer than 100. It's not a lot from these newer versions, and it's about what I saw when Froyo would have been in the testing phase and when they kind of took the cover off of it, took the lid off it, and allowed people to see that it was out there. So what do you guys think? Do you think 2.3 is going to be kind of the track we're on now, and then the tablet OS is going to be 3.0, or do you think they're really starting to test Honeycomb, which and it might be Honeycomb. I don't know. That's an odd name still. And just take it a whole different track for tablets?
It's, you know, my gut feeling, 3.0 is going to be 2.3 that scales, just like iOS 4 did.
Mm.
You know, or 4.1. The changes they made so they could use it on a larger screen.
When you say scales, you mean higher resolution.
Higher resolution, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, a Galaxy Tab, you know, maybe it's only 3 inches larger than an Evo or a Droid X, but 3 inches is a lot of space, and I'd like to see a little bit higher resolution on it.
Confusing matters is this November 8th event in New York City that Samsung is throwing. At first, we're like, all right, maybe it's, you know, the Nexus, whatever. And you start looking at the picture, and it's obviously a stock ticker, and obviously the continuum, because the little secondary screen on the bottom is called the ticker. And then I didn't even notice this at first. Taylor and I were talking today, and apparently Kyle, the droid guy, noticed the file name on the picture itself is Continuum Event. So I think that pretty much nails that down. So I would not, absolutely not expect the next Nexus device at this event. It's possible. Possible.
Depends.
You can get,
I was going to say, it depends. If Eric Schmidt is sitting in a folding chair on the, you know, on the podium, maybe. But Samsung's not going to announce the Nexus S. Google is.
Right. Google would do it. But here's the other thing. The Continuum is a carrier device. It's a Verizon device. There is absolutely no way Samsung's going to throw an event with Verizon there. And because here's how the conversation would go. Samsung would say, all right, we're going to, you know, we'll announce your Continuum. Cool. And then, hey, you know, we're also going to throw in this really cool unlocked phone. And Verizon's, if it's a good phone, if it's next generation, like people are thinking it is, even though we're kind of hearing the specs aren't, there's absolutely no way Verizon would let that happen. They would walk out. They would literally walk out. So I'm pretty sure you're not going to get the Nexus whatever at the November 8 event. I think it's possible, very possible, we could get a Gingerbread announcement there. Go back to the Droid X event in New York in June. And we knew everybody who was going to be there. We knew Adobe was going to be there, and we're all expecting, you know, Froyo in some form. But that didn't happen. But they did announce that it was released to developers that day. So stranger things have happened. I'm still not really buying that, though, especially now that I hear it coming out of my mouth. Again, I think that's a Google announcement, and I think Google will do that by themselves. Actually announce the new OS.
Agreed.
We think, Mickey?
They're not going to want to share.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to want to share that.
What do you think, Mickey?
And Verizon, like you said, Verizon is not going to let it happen, and Verizon gets what they want. They're big enough. Right. So I agree with you completely.
Mr. Papillon.
Yeah, there's nothing happening Google-wise at the November 8th event except for the Continuum. Let's just move on.
It's a cool phone, and I don't mean to downplay that phone. I really am curious to see what people think about it, and I know everyone's going to bitch and complain because it has Bing, but you need to get over that. The secondary screen is actually really cool, and I'm really interested to see how people react to that. And if we can adjust our thinking to using this kind of ticker. I mean, you know, that's a great name for it. It's a really, really good name for it.
It just from your videos, my mind is, you know, 100 miles an hour of things I'd like to see if you couldn't make it do.
Yeah, and I didn't have enough time with it to really start to wrap my brain around it, because you have to force your eyes to look down, especially in Android, right? You're so used to the notification bar is at the top, and you're used to everything being at the top, and suddenly it's on the
opposite side. Well, I'm glad it wasn't me, yeah. Because that's the same thing I thought. You know, why is it down in the bottom instead of at the top? I'm glad it wasn't just me thinking that.
It's a cool phone. It's a really cool phone. So let's wrap up these rumors. The other odd news is that Google is shutting down its Nexus One forums, its support forums. The good news is we still have some. So you can come to the Android Central forums and get all your Nexus One help. So, hooray!
And at this point in the game... Nobody in the United States is buying a new Nexus One unless they already know what they're doing anyway.
It had a pretty good, you know, that's a good 10, 11 month run, right?
Yep.
It's not bad for a smartphone these days. So let's dive into some other hardware news. Interesting times ahead. We had a fun little story. Speaking of unannounced phones, the HTC Merge showed up in a Verizon Urban Challenge for this contest in Seattle. Turns out, though, that was just a horrible, horrible typo. And when it says merge, it's actually pronounced incredible. So HTC, I got up with HTC and they straightened us out on that. So don't expect a merge announcement on Friday, unfortunately. Sorry. Let's talk to MyTouch 4G. So it's coming November 3rd for $199. It is officially the MyTouch 4G. Where do you guys stand on the whole T-Mobile? Yes.
Do you have T-Mobile 4G in Pensacola?
I don't even have T-Mobile 3G in Pensacola. This is ridiculous. I'm hardly in like the smallest town in America. I don't even have T-Mobile 3G. It's, don't get me started. going to be very zen.
Okay, I will.
So is T-Mobile 4G? 4G or not? Or is it 3.5G? It's HSPA+. It's not LTE. It's not WiMAX. I don't even know what... Mickey, you probably know the numbers. I don't even know what the max theoretical speeds are.
On the HSPA Plus?
Yes.
I think right now their current build out is at 21 megabits a second. They are talking about 42 though, and I think it will be software upgradable to that. Mm-hmm. It is important to point out that no, it's not 4G, but I mean, if you really want to get technical about it, neither LTE nor WiMAX are truly 4G, and this goes into what the ITU says is actually a 4G network, and that means targets of 1 gigabit per second in low mobility situations and 100 megabit per second in high mobility. So we're talking about LTE networks.
You're talking like 1 megabit if you're standing still, or sorry, 1 megabit if you're in a car, and 100 megabits if you're standing still.
You're off by a factor of 10. 1 gigabit per second when you're standing still.
Sorry.
100 megabits when you're moving.
Either way. All right, that's it. I'm starting a whole new classification. It's called PDF. Pretty damn fast.
Yeah. And here's the reality. Everyone is going to be looking at 4G as the WiMAX and LTE networks that are either online or coming online soon. There's no one out there that's going to be like the fist pounder like that says, oh no, these are not 4G networks. Think back to, there were a number of Sprint devices in the early 2000s that came out with the 1XRTT speeds on them. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, 3G. Wow, 3G. Now we're still using 3G. And look, 10 years later, and Phil doesn't have 3G. I mean, the technical definitions are maybe a little bit loosely too specific, because loosely we really... are looking at these next generation of networks with these new technologies. HSPA Plus is an iteration of HSPA, which is, of course, built on UMTS, which is a true 3G technology. So I'll even call it 3.75G. So, we're getting closer as far as speeds, and the speeds that we're going to see on T-Mobile are going to be faster than what LTE gets rolled out with on Verizon. But they're choosing to do that, and they have the capacity to do so. So, that's a long tangent to say, HSPA Plus is not 4G.
And if you don't have it in your town, it doesn't matter a damn at all.
I'm gonna have 4G. I'm going to have 4G in West Virginia. 4G. That's 1, 2, 3, 4Gs, Phil.
I hate you. Do you guys see a big battle between the carriers over... All right, so before it was, who had the best coverage, or who had the most bars and workplaces, or who was the best 3G or whatever. Are we just going to see some ridiculous ad war now? This time
on
next
4G?
Year, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's going to be the new buzzword. I mean, it's... Although the funny thing is I would rather take a sustained 5 to 12 megabits per second down than, 20 megabits down in one place and 100 kilobits down in Pensacola. What I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I would much rather have a network that's established, that is consistent and reliable, and that's why Verizon's going to succeed in, no matter what they do, if they can get this thing rolled out in a way that we, come to expect that Verizon will do.
Jerry, that's a perfectly legitimate question in the chat room. What do hillbillies need with 4G?
Well, so we can just do our hillbilly things faster. You go to hillbilly.com or nascar.com. You can get there faster, baby.
Go faster.
But I wanted to... I wanted to ask Mickey, do you think that they're really going to start... I agree with you, they're going to, 4G is going to be the buzzword, and they're going to show pictures with numbers of how fast it is. That doesn't matter on phones. Phones can process. So, I can hook up my Nexus One on Wi-Fi and get 16, 18 megabits per second down.
Mm-hmm.
Websites don't load any faster than a good Sprint 3G connection.
Jerry, you're short-sighted on this one. We're not talking about web browsing. We're talking about all the other things. that the carriers are going to push us to do, such as video streaming, up and down, meaning you're going to be watching more video. You're going to be also creating video and having video conversations with people, supposedly. You're also going to be wanting to do things with audio, which you can do a lot of it on 3G, but obviously it'll be better with speeds that are, you know, closer to the 10 megabit mark. What I agree with you that for general web browsing and email, it doesn't matter. It's really not that big of a deal. But you have to look past that. And also, you know, how great is it that especially with 2.2 and higher, you're going to be able to tether with these devices. That's a big, big thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be very positive. Now, how funny is this, though, that we're even starting to talk about devices right now? Most of these phones have Wi-Fi B and G. You know, what's the theoretical maximum is what, 54? So real world speeds are somewhere around 22 or 26, mm-hmm. maybe. You're knocking on the door with that with HSPA Plus. You know, so that's kind of, I mean, it's like the whole thing with like the 10 base T routers. It's like, oh my gosh, 10 megabits per second. Whoa. I don't need anything faster than that. Mm-hmm. Don't you? So, what was your question?
I was wondering if we're going to see the carriers really start to push things like air cards and netbooks more, you know, like right now they're all, you know, every commercial you see, whether it be for Android or Apple or whoever, you're seeing cell phone. Mm. Everybody's happy. Their family has a cell phone. I'm just curious if we're going to start seeing, you know, here's mom with her netbook or her tablet computer.
I mean, likely they're already starting to do it. I mean, Sprint had that announcement last week. They have the two devices that had integrated 3G and 4G mm-hmm. in them. You could get they had the Dell Mini 10 and then the Dell Inspiron. Mm-hmm. And both of those were, I think, $200 and under, $150 and $99 or something like that for computers, you know, that you can get with a 2-year contract and pay $1,260 or whatever it is for the year to have it. But I think what they're going to go after first is going to be the early adopters, and there'll be a little bit of advertising. I'm not really sure what Verizon's going to do. They're always like this, you know, kind of like, we're tried and true with our network. We know it's going to work. Now we're going to market it to you. You know, where they talk about 3G, and you know, some of their ads last year were pretty cute, comparing their 3G versus AT&T's. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, that was a good way to do it, because AT&T came out with this campaign that, you know, was I don't know. I'll just say a little bit shady, to say the least, in what they were advertising. I mean, I still, AT&T is not my favorite, and I think what we're ultimately going to see is an initial launch, and we already know this with laptop dongles and possibly MiFi style devices. Then we're going to see a select number of smartphones. Many of them, I believe, are going to be Android, and then we'll move. In fact, they all might be Android to start out with, and then as they get those devices in the hands of the early adopters, and they see how they go, then they can kind of tailor their marketing and figure out what they need to do to really, you know, to gear it towards the right market for 4G. And again, it's only going to be in, you know, 30 some odd cities to start out with. So it's not going, they you look at T-Mobile, and T-Mobile has, I mean, they talk about their 3G, but they're not out there saying we've got the fastest 3G, because in some cities they do. So I think that's for a reason, and I think Verizon is going to do something similar.
Oh, yeah, I was just curious. I know you got your finger sort of on the pulse of how all that works. You're a little more familiar with it than we are, and I just, you know, I just curious how they're going to transition away from who they're marketing at now, how they're going to get me convinced to buy a tablet.
How do they convince you to buy a tablet? Well, I think the hardware is going to have to sell it first. I don't think their network is going to sell you a tablet. You know, for the most part, people are happy with their screens that they have right now, their computer, mm-hmm. and then their phone. Tablets are a very niche market. We're trying, you know, the manufacturers are trying to convince people that they need them. I'm a pretty nerdy, geeky guy, and I can't fit a tablet into my life. So you know, 4G is not going to entice me to make that switch.
Well, let's talk about the tablets some more, because we now have all four U.S. carriers have announced, and a fifth regional. Yeah, and one regional. So let's start. T-Mobile just announced Wednesday that they're going to get it first, and they made a big deal about getting it first. They're going to have it on the 10th of November, $399 on contract. On contract.
Mm-hmm. Which we don't know what that means yet.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah. Verizon, $600 on November 11th. Sprint, $400 on contract on the 14th. And I believe it's $500 outright with Sprint. I don't think I ever updated that post like I should have. But they will sell it outright. Who am I forgetting? AT&T. Do we know AT&T, actually? We might not.
Mm-mm.
No, we no. don't. All right, so
I
we don't know.
Think they've said anything.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah. So they haven't announced when and for how much yet. So they're going to be the last ones. And U.S. Cellular came out today. They said they're getting it. They haven't said when or for how much. It's look.
Nice and, announcement, guys.
I know. Oh, I hate
we're going to get it.
It
we don't know
me
when. Yeah, we don't know how much. We don't even know what it looks like. It may actually not be Samsung manufactured, and it may not actually be a tablet. But we're getting it.
Sorry, look, when I go back to saying don't discredit Samsung for what they've done with the Galaxy S, you know, getting on so many carriers at one time, it's kind of the same thing with the Tab. I mean, it's not very often you see an entire line spread so far and so wide. I still haven't gotten to use a Tab. I can't wait. I don't know if I'm going to buy one, but I can't wait to use it. Oof. Yeah,
It is amazing. I mean, I think I mentioned this last week. It's like making the jump from a MicroTac to, or from a DynaTac to a MicroTac. Mm. I mean, you still know it's early on in the game, but man, was that, it's like a monumental leap. It's light. It's a nice size. The screen is awesome. It's quick.
Stop.
Oh. I you know what? It was funny. I was I actually had to take someone to an Apple store today because they just got an iPhone 4, and they're like, it's got problems. It's slow. I'm like, yeah, because you don't have a case and you're holding it wrong. So let's go get you a case. Anyway, just as an aside for those that have iPhone toting friends, you still can get free cases. You just have to go in and say, look, you got problems here. I need a case, and they'll give you a free bumper. So that was cool.
Well, good on you. Yeah.
On the side, I was looking at the iPad, and I'm like, okay, this is played. This is done. Let's move on to the next generation. Whether I don't care if we see something from Apple come out here in the next couple of months. That was like the first, like, okay, look at this. What we got now? I'm sorry. I looked at it, and I was like, the screen is just, the resolution's not as good. The weight is still way too heavy, and this is all the reasons why I got rid of mine. The Galaxy Tab is just a monumental leap beyond that technologically and in an actual usability way as well.
I want one. I don't know if I need one.
But... Yes, you should.
it's
really neat.
When Google TV gets straightened out, mm-hmm. I'd like to have a tablet for my coffee table that act as a remote control.
Yeah, well, all right. It's expensive. Yeah, let's talk about Google TV for a minute. And I'm still knee deep in trying to write this thing up because there's a lot to write about, or a little bit to write about, depending on what your view is. First thing I want to say is, if you guys haven't seen it, go to the T4Show.com, and watch Michael Manna's unboxing and setup video.
Yeah.
It's excellent. He did a really, really good job. And I totally meant to have him on the podcast to talk about it because he understands that side of consumer electronics far better than I do. But really, really excellent. So when you hear horror stories about it taking an hour to set up and update this thing, it's not that bad at all. And I didn't have any problems. Really didn't take long. But I want to talk about Google TV. So I got it. I got it last Friday, I guess the day after we recorded the last podcast. And should I spoil the review? I don't want to spoil the review. I want to hear what you guys think.
No, not too much.
Tell me what you guys think from what you've seen so far.
I try to find a reason why it's better than, you know, a boxy box. And until they have a market up and working for it, I'm really having a hard time finding why it's better. I mean, I'll have to be honest.
What do you think, Mickey?
Yeah, I have no interest. it doesn't appeal to me. I don't know. I probably should have a little bit more, but I just don't.
All right, so if you've been living under a rock and don't know what Google TV is, it is a service that pretty much brings the internet to your TV and does it fairly well. You get a full Chrome browser with Flash support. I mean, it will run any website out there. It's a little slow, and it's just not nearly as snappy as I thought it would be and think it should be. You know, it runs on Android, so at some point it will have kind of an app store of some point. It will run Android apps at some point whether those are the same Android apps you'll have in your phone, I don't know. That's, you know, that's going to be a little sticky. But when I got down to it, and I'm sitting there last Saturday playing with it and watching TV. First of all, there are issues with the video, and I'm still actually relatively new at high def video. I've only had it for like a month now, but there are definite video issues with the review. I'm not sure if you have the same video with the Sony TVs where it's built in, but with the review, you're going from your cable box or satellite box or whatever into the review and then out to your TV. Now, it's all HDMI. It's all digital. It should be fine, right? But watching football is nearly impossible because the motion, I mean, it looks digitized. It looks like you're watching it on a computer almost. And Logitech has said, you know, like, hey, we understand there's a problem. We're going to fix it. And that's good. Good on them.
Okay, yeah.
But still very disappointing out of the box, you know, especially on a weekend. It's like, I can't use this to watch TV. But my bigger problem is use case. Do I need it? You know, it's cool having a browser, and it's cool being able to watch YouTube. And the YouTube lean back thing is pretty neat. You know, it's full screen YouTube, basically. But, you know, if I'm going to do something other than watch YouTube, it's just not quite there for me yet. So I'm sitting there on Saturday with a laptop on my lap, my Harmony One remote in one hand, the Logitech Review keyboard in the other. And I'm like, this is just ridiculous. You know, mm-hmm. A, my laptop should be able to control this, or I know you can use your phone, and maybe I just don't have it set up right, but I was using a wired internet connection and not wireless, and you have to have wireless on to be able to use your phone as the remote. So I don't think you can do both. I need to go back and look.
What?
Again. Yeah.
Why would you? Why? Because it's not going. It's going. Is it an ad hoc network?
I don't know. I could be wrong. I need to check that out. That makes no sense.
Well, no, it can't be because Android can't do ad hoc networking. Not on Froyo. I mean, they try to fake it, but it can't be. There has to be some sort of setup issue there.
All right, so we think that's me.
Well, yeah. And no, that's fine. Maybe it's not. But maybe it's not you. Maybe it's, you know, a setup issue that needs addressed with software.
Okay. No, it's Phil.
It might well be. No, it might well be. The keyboard, the Logitech keyboard is not bad. It's not great. And I use Logitech keyboards. That's what I have sitting here in front of me now. But it's a little sparse. And, I mean, look, I got a Harmony One because I want it to control everything. I have an Xbox. The Logitech keyboard won't control the Xbox.
Boo.
Yeah, it's like they totally forgot that you might have other things attached to your TV than a cable box.
Yeah, and this is Logitech. That's, you know, they're supposed to have all that sorted out. Well, they've been doing universal remotes forever.
And they absolutely should. Setup was pretty easy, and if you watch Michael's video, I think you pretty much get the feel for it. You know, it says, hey, what's your, you know, set-top box? What's your TV? What's your tuner? And so that wasn't a big deal. A couple tricks you need to look out for is make sure that, you know, you have audio coming out your cable box the way it should. And, you know, I had to basically rewire my whole thing to get it all to work right. And once it worked okay. But the video thing was bad. But I really just, you know, keep sitting there like, well, you know, I don't really want to watch Netflix on the Google TV right now because I can't actually search Netflix through Google TV. I can't add things. And that's
what?
Kind of ridiculous. Yeah. Now, what you can do is go into Chrome and do it right then.
Oh, okay. All right. But not I guess from the Netflix app. Okay for now.
Yeah, but still. But then you're hopping in and out of apps. And it does multitask, by the way, and does so pretty well. In fact, you hold down the home button to a switch, just like normal. So, you know, a lot of the things are similar. But it's just not as quick and as easy as the Xbox was. And, again, the video problems. So, it just kind of made me want to turn it off. And in fact, it's been a couple days since I turned it on.
Well, you know, early adopter.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And hey, look, we're giving one away. We're giving this one away. You will have the Logitech Review that has been in my home. I have touched it. And it's pretty good. I'm just not sure.
It won't work on T-Mobile 3G.
It won't work on, yeah, I don't have Timo 3G here, so, you know, that doesn't kill the review. Ooh, will I sign it? Hey, should I sign it? I could. I should totally sign it.
There you go. Yeah, you got to now.
An autographed Logitech review signed by me. It just went down in value.
Now they're asking, did you hate it that much? No, we need to
No. Absolutely not. I do not hate it. I think it's an excellent thing, and I think it's only going to get better, right? I mean, a lot of the problems are probably software-based, and they can update that. As for me right now, in my living room, I don't have the usage case for it. And I should, and I wish I did, but I don't. I have – my music is all, you know, based in Zune. I use Zune as my media player here on my laptop. Sure. So I have Zune Pass, and a lot of the music I listen to is in that. So the review in Google TV can't tie into Zune Pass, and that's – God, if I were Microsoft, I would open Zune Pass just to everybody.
Yep.
Man, yep. It's that good, and Microsoft's thing is licensing. I'm just still surprised they haven't done – I'm not going to go off my Zune Pass thing, but –
If you can get Office on a Mac OS X, you should be able to get Zune Pass on an Android phone, period.
Absolutely. And especially, you know, that's a big selling point of Windows Phone 7, and I understand that, and they're going to want to keep it on that. But, man.
Okay, so make it better on Windows Phone 7, but give us something basic.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, kind of like Google has done with Google services with Android.
Right.
So, you know, so I can't get to that. I don't have any videos digitally like that. I don't do any of that yet. People were asking because I asked on Twitter the other day if I should get a Blu-ray player. And actually, that has nothing to do with this. That was just totally separate because I knew I wasn't going to keep the review. But, you know, there are things I want to watch that are only on disc and that you can't get digitally yet. So that was that question.
Optical discs are dead. You're not allowed to watch them anymore. They are dead.
Yeah, so that's kind of my thing about Google TV. So, like, Netflix is cool. It works okay. You have Logitech media players on there. You have Chrome. And the Chrome works pretty well. And it's pretty cool to have a browser there and just be able to search. We had the story last week that the networks aren't playing nicely right now. ABC, yeah. CBS, NBC, and all them. And that was hardly a surprise, right? They've been quiet for so long.
Hand's going to go in somebody's pocket to get that straightened out.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a money thing. It comes down to money.
Yep.
So it's early. This time next year, maybe it'll be totally different. And I think maybe if it was built into a TV, it might be more popular. I think the Sony stuff might do better than the Logitech things. People don't need one more thing in their living room. They don't want one more box. I can handle one more box, but one more remote.
Some people do.
You're a good example of...
I'm going to shut up. Go ahead and finish.
No. You're a good example of what?
You're a good example. I was talking with you. You have a complete component system.
Mm-hmm.
You want a separate box. So they need to make a separate box that works just as well as built into a television.
Yeah, and maybe it's the keyboard that's getting me then, right? Like, it won't run the Xbox. Well, all right. So suddenly I need a second remote again. Just for me and my workflow, it's not there yet. Maybe review 2.0 will be. Maybe they fix the software up some. It's close, but just not quite yet for me. I'm still excited to give one away. I think somebody's going to really, really enjoy this, and it's just really cool stuff. And again, use cases, you know, this might be built a little more for somebody who doesn't necessarily have... Well, no, see, that's... Yeah, it comes down to the use cases. So that's Google TV in a nutshell. Still got a full review coming up or something close to it. It's close. It's, you know, it's version 1.0. I'm not going to bash it too far yet. Forever and ever. Amen. What else? How do we move on from that? We've had like 3 huge topics already.
Yep. We've got a lot more here.
What about the Desire HD becoming the incredible HD on Verizon, probably? Does that really surprise anybody?
Yes and no.
What's that?
My honest opinion, I pictured Verizon dropping the Droid Incredible line and making it something HD so they can market it how they want instead of, you know, under the agreement they have with LucasArts and Google.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a roundabout way to say bing. You know, that's what I thought would happen.
I have
a totally off the topic question, so go ahead and finish.
No, I think Droid phones are still their cash cow. I think Bing was just kind of side money from Microsoft. And let's hope it is. Let's hope that's all it is.
So I'm looking at this Desire HD and thinking about the original Desire, and actually it got me thinking about the Wildfire, which got me thinking about the Nexus. And there's one thing that the Desire HD, plus a lot of other devices that are out there now, and again, this is, again, a very random off-the-wall question, but so at a point, we were looking at some sort of, manual or optical navigation device on these devices. The Desire HD gets rid of that. Obviously, the Nexus still has the trackball. How do you guys feel about that? Do you think that they're needed? I mean, they're not totally needed. The last couple of Android devices I've reviewed haven't had them. So, I guess I didn't really feel like there's a need for them anyway, but what do you guys think?
I can live without them.
Ball. Yeah. Oh, my God. Trackball for life. I'll take all the trackballs you all don't want. Put 5 or 6 of them on a phone for me.
I'm still walking around with the Droid X, in my other pocket all day long, and I'm perfectly happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
I just, sometimes I have to do a lot more typing and text entry than I like, and a trackball makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same way, but I don't like the look of it. And that's why I like that optical trackpad that they were putting on the Desire. And I was like, well, maybe they'll just go with it. then all the new, all the devices then on the carriers are, the major devices on the carriers don't have them anymore.
Well, you're an old BlackBerry. I can't believe you're going to want to just give up the trackball that easy.
Oh, trackball can die. It's all about the optical trackpad. That was just such a, the one point of failure with the device. It would go for years, but you'd have to use, get a new trackball every 6 months.
Yep.
It's terrible. So, I definitely don't like the idea of having something manual like that on a phone. One of the reasons I don't really like flip devices or slider devices. Just give me one form factor, nothing moving, nothing I can break.
You're getting old, Mickey. You're going to start telling people to get out of your yard and stuff. I can see it.
All right, I want to talk some apps. First off, there's been a security advisory for Flash, and I'm not worried about that at all, really.
Yeah, a security advisory that there is no evidence that affects Android in any way, shape, or form.
I know that means Flash is bad and Steve Jobs is right, but it doesn't, and I'm not worried about it, so let's move on. Google Maps got an update today, actually, to version 4.6. Pretty much improves the way you can go through your search results, which is cool. Glad to see they're still doing that.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, that's true.
I still can't download anything.
Yes, the market had a bit of a hiccup on Thursday. Google announced on Twitter that it should be okay now. It was just a few hours, though. Actually, I think it depends on the phone and the network, maybe. Like in the Nexus, the Nexus One, I had no problem downloading the market update with CyanogenMod, and the Droid X couldn't get it. So I don't know. That was a little weird, but supposedly that's fixed. They really have to keep that from happening. The market's just been a mess lately. I don't know what the deal is.
It happened right after you announced the Maps update, so I think it was your fault.
I took down the internet again. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Jerry, talk to me about your impossible level game that's driving me nuts.
Oh, isn't that a cool little game?
Oh.
I've never played anything so hard. Anybody that's picked it up, wait till you get up to the higher levels. The Hyper Beast people, they gave me one that's completely unlocked to review, so I can look at just how hard it gets. So I've had a sneak peek at level 36, and oh man, it's impossible. But so that's a perfect name for it. But it's so addicting that I'm gonna finish it. I bought the regular game just so, I could be on the score leaderboard. And of course, my score is nowhere near good enough to be on the leaderboard, but I'm still going to have fun with it. But yeah, I can see myself working at this one until I get it finished. It's that addictive.
Yeah, it's like the Moron Test. There are a few games out there like this, but this is one of the better ones. And the graphics, well, they're rudimentary. They're not bad like some of the other ones. I'm stuck on level 18 right now. Jerry had to help me through 17. Oh, this has taken over Angry Birds. I haven't played Angry Birds all day now. did a post this morning about Chromemarks, which is a browser bookmark sync app. And yes, I know it's not free. It costs $2.37. Everybody freaked out. You know what? I like paying for apps. I like paying for good apps. And this is a good one. Very, very easy to sync your bookmarks from Chrome to your phone. So give that a shot. Saw a cool video that the Mozilla guys sent out of its video in HTML5 and WebGL showing 3D, and then you need the little glasses, and then you
it's kind of cool.
Yeah, then you can watch 3D on your Android phone. How awesome is that? The Android market has passed 100,000 apps, and I use apps in air quotes yet again because it's not all apps. It's keyboards, it's ringtones, and it's 300,000 sexy lady number 24 apps. And while I have no problem with those apps,
so
yeah.
All right. So my question was: are either of you fans of The Office?
I've watched it.
You watched it. And that's a no for Jerry.
Yeah, I can't even say I've watched it.
So this announcement from the Android Dev Twitter account reminded me of an episode, because the actual tweet was 100,000 apps in Android market.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think about when I read that was Dwight joins the party planning committee, and he posts the sign that says, "It is your birthday." Like, that's supposed to be like the, you know, happy birthday. It is your birthday. That's exactly what this reminded me of. I'm like, there is no emotion. There is no, it's a 100,000 apps in Android market, period. Yay.
That's kind of how I felt about it, because immediately there are 500 stories. There are 100,000 apps, and it's almost as many as Apple, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, stop. Just stop. Everybody knows better, and if not, you should know better. Whatever. Just because somebody throws a number at you doesn't, anyway. That's how I feel about it. I got a little upset about it, apparently. We're waiting on PayPal to show up anytime now. We got a leaked, not leaked, but if you did some playing around in Firebug, you could see PayPal show up in the Android market, and then a blog post went up from PayPal and then was quickly taken down. And really expecting it any time now. Maybe they're saving that for the Gingerbread announcement, which would be cool. I don't know. I don't know why everybody has such a hard time with Google Checkout. I mean, you give it your credit card number and you buy apps. How tough is that?
And if you really want to get technical, you can get a PayPal debit card and register it with Google Checkout.
Yeah, there you go. It's not that big a deal to me. But anyway, so PayPal's coming then.
But yeah, to some people it is. And, you know, it's all about choice. So
yeah. I tell you what, we're going to have a bunch of links in the show notes to the Android updates that are going on. Nothing really big. The Joy 2 is getting an update right now as we speak for a bunch of bug fixes. And the Galaxy Tab and Epic 4G are actually going to be Sprint ID devices at some point. The Galaxy Tab, I assume, at launch. The Epic 4G will get it in an update at some point. So that's interesting. I don't think it's going to totally take over TouchFlow. Do you, Jerry?
No, I think they're going to have to put it on top of it somehow.
There you go.
Yeah, that's Samsung's market, you know, right there. It's
We got a lot of good voicemails and emails, so shall we do some?
Certainly.
Let us start with Mark. It's kind of a long one, so hang in there.
This is Mark calling from San Diego, California. I think I'm probably the most typical cell phone user, smartphone user. And so, of course, I use an advanced task killer. And I hear you guys bagging on them left and right, so I got all fired up and removed mine and restarted the phone so it would be running natural, and the phone's dead in about 3 or 4 hours. So I plug it in, and I keep it pretty much plugged in until the following morning, using it a couple times here and there, and it never regains past maybe like 13% power. So I reinstall advanced task killer, charge up for a couple hours, keep everything, you know, squished after I use it, and it seems to run fine. I get about a day out of my battery with advanced task killer, about 3 to 4 hours when it's not installed. So there's something I'm missing that maybe I've missed on one of your podcasts, but what's the solution? I've got the HTC Aris, and I'll be listening, so don't get fired up and shut off the mics. Anyway, love the podcast, and hopefully you'll be able to answer this for me. Thanks.
Now, did you catch it? Because he slipped it in there, and I had to listen to this a couple times when I first edited it. Droid Airs.
Well, yeah. That's why I said, uh-huh, because he's using, what, 1.6? Are they at?
Now, they're 2.1, which 2.1? Didn't really help. You know, it's just not.
I was making a comment that probably everyone disagrees with, and actually Jerry did, because my comment was, so the consensus is with 2.1, you can use a task killer.
Well, no, on the Aeris, unless you're rooted, you almost have to.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's the answer.
Cool.
And it,
all right, let's move on to... No, well,
somebody in the chat room said the Aeris is just garbage. No, the Aeris is still better than 90% of the cell phones you can buy. It's just not near as good as the other 10%.
Very good. All right, here comes Ben.
Hi, this is Ben from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and this is for the Android Central podcast. I just got done listening to episode 34, and I was questioning about the Verizon reps installing the task killers on it. My mom just bought a Droid, the original one, and as soon as I started playing with it, I saw that she had installed a task killer on there because she was suggested it by a rep. I told her to remove it. The other day she called me up and said, now her phone is acting all crazy, and she started yelling at me for trying to take it off. Could you play this on the podcast so I can send it to her? So she could listen to it from experts that know what they're talking about, not just some pre-user who kind of listens to Android stuff and kind of knows what he's talking about. Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye.
Now, of course, I wish we knew what phone that was.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. But Ben's mom, hi, how's it going? I'm Phil. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Ben's mom.
I'm Jerry.
Say hi to Ben's mom.
Oh, he said Droid 1. We just all missed it. Okay.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
All right. Droid 1.
Let's try that again. Hang on.
I wouldn't
know. Wait, we got to try that again. Hi, Ben's mom. I'm Phil.
Hi, Ben's mom. I'm Mickey.
Hi, Ben's mom. I'm Jerry.
So, what's the answer?
I wouldn't use one on a Droid 1.
I wouldn't either. Stay away. Take it off. Take it off now.
It doesn't have, you know, a ton of RAM like some of the newer phones, but it has enough as long as it's got a current version of Android on it. You're better off without it.
Exactly. All right, so let's move on to some emails. We'll start with David. He writes, I have an HTC Evo. Do I need to update Flash in the market? The phone came with Flash. I do not have Flash in my applications. Also, any thoughts on Navigon? Yeah, go ahead and update Flash, right?
Right. Yeah, if it shows with, you know, available in the market, do it.
Yeah. Navigon is out. You can go get it. You can try it. I just have no need for anything other than Google Maps.
I've got Sprint Maps on my Evo, and I was a big firm supporter of Sprint Maps, but the way Google's updated Google Maps, I don't worry about it anymore.
All right, then. Who wants the next one?
All right. Michael writes, I am rather new, a rather new Android developer, and I first charged for my apps, and now I'm going the ads route, but neither seem to make enough money to live off of. What's your suggestion for getting my apps out and getting more downloads? Well, I'm not an app developer, so I don't really have any good advice for him, but I'm guessing Jerry has a comment or two.
Well, I'm not an app developer either, but I, you know, maybe... It's your content, you know, and I don't know what your apps are. I'm not knocking them in any way. Maybe, you know, what you like just isn't appealing to a broad audience. You know, I know if I wrote an app that I liked, I'd be lucky to find 100 other people that liked it. So maybe you have to focus on writing something that other people will like and put your ads in there and see if that doesn't help you any. I mean, the Android market does have a lot of exposure now, so when you hit the right thing, I don't know that you're going to become a millionaire off of it, but I think you can make some money.
Okay, here's what you need to do. You need to basically email every Android site out there, starting with ours, and you need to get a spot in our developer forums, and for any of you developers out there, just email us, and we will get you hooked up for that. And just advertise as much as you can. Get on Twitter, get in the forums, get on just every site and be like, here's my app. Give it a shot. You know, give it away for free, whatever you got to do. Or was that too helpful?
Well, no, I mean, yeah, that's probably the best answer of the three. So are we going to move on to the next one? Good, good, because, yeah, you know, that was a foot and mouth for Jerry thing. Jake writes, "Hey, guys, I have been very interested in picking up a Wi-Fi only Galaxy Tab. The one big question for me, though, is since it does not go through a phone company server, how will I receive updates for it, if it gets any? I really need to know this before I try to pick one up. Thanks, guys. Love the show." Through Samsung.
Yeah. The internet is the internet.
Yep. I would believe you'll probably get more and faster updates direct from Samsung for a Wi-Fi only tab than you would through Verizon or Sprint or AT&T.
I can't actually update my Droid 2 right now because it's not activated.
Ah.
Yeah, that kind of depresses me a little. Oh, well. ACC phones, not a problem. I don't know.
It's Blur. That's why you can't connect to the Blur server without...
Yeah. Yeah. Droid 2, yeah. Finally, Stefan from Germany writes, "Is there a possibility to make Google Maps automatically start the GPS receiver when loading, or should I run an app for that? It's not much of a deal to start it afterwards, but it would be very useful. I like one-click solutions, and I don't want the receiver switched on all the time because of the battery life." He's using an HTC Wildfire. Should it not turn on automatically?
Well, I think what he's saying is he doesn't have GPS enabled.
Itself, yeah.
And that shouldn't use any battery because it... Just because you've enabled it, it shouldn't be on until an application is using it.
Right. So give that a shot, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, it should just turn on and off.
Yeah, I leave mine on all the time, and, you know, I very rarely see it running unless I'm using something that needs it.
Mm-hmm. So that's it. It's a whole lot of rumory goodness, a whole lot of tab goodness, a whole lot of
Skype
Google
fail.
TV, a whole lot of Google TV goodness. Ain't nobody gonna notice a Skype fail, because I'm just gonna edit it out.
You're the master.
And I'm gonna edit out and Mickey mention the Skype fail. Appreciate that. Create
Skype fail.
Oh. All right, Mickey, take us home.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to podcast@androidcentral.com or leave us a voicemail at 888-468-6158, extension 222. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter. Follow the site at Android Central. You can get Phil at Phil Nickinson, Jerry at GB Hill, that's H-I-L, and me at TCPJ_Mickey. The entire site, podcast, and everything that you love about Android Central, brought to you by the Android Central Store, found at store.androidcentral.com. Place your order by calling 888-468-6158.
I like the way it sounds when you read that, Mickey. Hey, at least I didn't say Skype fail. Oops.
I was going to say stick a fork in it, but I just kind of don't want to now.
Do you want to stick a fork in me?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah,
no, okay.
Stick a fork. All right, stick a fork in Jerry. We're out of here. Jerry, Mickey, thank you guys. Chat room, thank you guys. Yes, we are reading the chat room, by the way. I see everything you guys write. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Oh. I must have missed it.
For everybody listening to the recorded version, 9 o'clock Eastern on Thursdays. Come join in. See y'all next week.
Take it easy, guys.
Skype fail.
God, I love
see,
Mickey.
Now I have to leave at least one of those in there for context. Son of a...